1980, and we're just sitting here and talking here about the phenomena that are taking place and the altered states of consciousness that happens between people and is happening to you. What do you feel that your opinion is about all this, since it is happening to you in the form of Jane Tweed? And I, of course, you're giving permission to tape this.
I have stage fright.
You have stage fright, okay. Well, let me kind of ask you some questions. And has your mother ever had any of these kind of experiences? Or your parents?
I'm sure my father hasn't, or if he did, he would have immediately denied it.
Okay. How about your mother? Has she ever mentioned any of these things?
Not this kind of thing. My mother has told me of a couple of what you might call psychic experiences that she had. Seeing people or figures or whatever.
Hmm. Figures?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see,
an old man one time specifically.
This may be interesting because sometimes there are people who may have heredity traits of certain type of phenomena that are taking place that may run in a family.
I don't know. This is fairly recently that she mentioned this to me, and in the last few years, I mean. I don't know whether this has happened to her earlier in her life or not.
What was that?
What happened?
Yeah, what was the event? Can you?
It was after they moved to their mobile home, and on, I think, at least two occasions, maybe I'm wrong, she mentioned seeing the figure of an old man moving across from one room to another.
In the mobile home?
In the mobile home. Very old man. She saw him from the rear. He was naked. And she knew it wasn't my father. My father is a very large man. You've met my father, haven't
mm-hmm,
you?
Mm-hmm.
And this was not such a large person. And his hair was long.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know what it was. It rather frightened her. And my son was there at the time. She was sure that he had seen it. And she still insists he did. He insists he didn't. But apparently they were sitting there together looking at a book or something, and she looked up and saw this. I don't know if this ever happened to her before or not.
Mm.
But she has mentioned that. I've discussed this with this, whatever it is, with my mother, this Jane Tweed thing.
Well, have you discussed it with her?
Yes. Easter Sunday, I went through everything I could think to tell her about it. I wanted to see if she could relate in any way to any of the places or names of people or events or anything like that as maybe having happened in my family or that I might have heard from my grandmother or, you know,
any way
at all. And
has your mother and father ever lived in that place when you yourself were a little girl? Have they taken you there for trips or?
No, I lived in California all my life.
You were born in California?
I was born in Santa Monica. Yeah. So
then as a little child, those areas would be unfamiliar to you, do you think?
My mother and dad both came from Missouri. Came out to California in the 20s with my grandmother. My grandmother also, they lived in Missouri. I don't think any of my family lived in Ohio except maybe way back, I mean several, 4 or 5 generations back.
Mm.
And I don't know where in Ohio that might have been. My mother for a while in her teens lived in Colorado Springs. My grandmother went to some kind of a nursing school there. But I had never been there until a few years ago. I never went to anywhere in Illinois.
Did your mother ever tell you stories? Did your mother ever tell you any stories about her childhood or about her experiences in those areas?
Well, she was never in those areas either, except Colorado Springs. Yeah, she told me about climbing Pike's Peak. I don't know that she traveled that extensively when she lived there.
Pike's Peak, where's Pike's Peak?
It's right near Colorado Springs.
Oh.
There was a cog rail, cog tramway.
Mm-hmm.
Up there still is, up Pike's Peak, and I remember her telling me how they would hike up that that area. But she was in her teens. And my dad, when he was a small boy, his father took them to Douglas, Arizona, and that's where he grew up. And until he came to California in the 20s. He was born in Missouri, but he lived most of his life in Arizona. And I had hardly been out of California until I was grown.
Do you have, I forget, you know, I talk with you so much, but I don't even know whether you have any brothers or sisters.
No, I'm an
only child.
I'm an only child. My parents, my parents were both in their 30s before I was born. And my mother couldn't have any more children after me.
Mm.
I guess I
you're either fortunate or unfortunate, right?
I don't know. But my mother is very interested in this, but she couldn't offer me anything that was of any help. I wish my grandmother was still alive. I would talk to her about it, but I don't think she ever went to Ohio or to anywhere in Illinois, but at least I would discuss it with her and ask her if she could connect any events. She used to tell me about her youth and where she grew up in Missouri. She lived on a farm. She lived out in the country. And I wondered if I talk about something that we haven't explained, is it going to mess this up?
No.
I talk about the house.
Anything at all.
I wondered if the house might have been maybe the house where she grew up, but I described it to my mother, and it's not the same. It isn't, because my mother was familiar with the farmhouse that my great grandmother had.
And did your mother ride horses? Did she love horses or anything?
No. I don't think she never mentioned it anyway.
And anyone in your that you know of in your family, grandmother and so forth, that was lame in any way? Any part of your family that was lame?
Not that I can think of. My grandmother wasn't. My mother isn't. I can't, if it's somebody more obscure than that, I can't think of it offhand.
Mm.
I never met a lot of my mother's I never met a lot of my relatives on either side of the family. So many of them stayed in Missouri, and I never met them unless they happened to make a trip. Mm. And all of my grandmother's brothers and sisters are dead, and I think only when I was very, very little did I ever meet any of them or their children. And I've really lost contact with all of that side of the family.
Did they tell you any stories? Can you recall, grandmother?
My grandmother liked to tell stories. They weren't necessarily stories about her life, although I can remember her telling one that impressed me that I think her grandmother told her. About being out on the prairie, it was in Missouri, I guess, when there were still Indians around, and how the Indians came, and she saw them coming, and she went and took their baby, and climbed a tree, and sat there and nursed the baby. Well, she had to get down and kill their dog, their family dog, because the dog was giving her away. She climbed the tree and hid in the tree while the Indians burned down the house and nursed the baby the whole time to keep it quiet. That really impressed me.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. I think that was that would have been, I guess, my great great-grandmother, I don't know. Anyway, but grandmother liked to tell stories, but she would tell all kinds of stories, ghost stories, and, well, just whatever would come into her mind. She was pretty good at that when we were little. When I say we, I mean my cousins. I have three boy men, they're men now, cousins that I saw a lot of when I was young. So.
Yeah. So what do you think about all this then now? It's happening to you.
Well,
what do you feel from the deeper intuitive self as a woman, as a person?
That's really hard to say because it seems my intuition keeps changing its mind. At the beginning, as I've told you, I really thought I was sort of replaying something I had read or seen in the movies or whatever.
And now you have no recollection?
Well, I'm not being able to identify anything that I've heard as something I've read or seen. Or it doesn't ring any bells.
It doesn't ring any bells. It doesn't retrieve any memories of anything someone told you or
no.
A book you read or a movie you saw or a television
no.
Radio show. Or
no, and I kept waiting and waiting for that. I was so sure that would happen. At this point, I don't know. It seems less and less as if it has anything to do with me.
Well, how do you feel now? You said about a dream that you, when you're in that state, whatever it is, you might say an altered state of consciousness because it isn't hypnosis anymore. What do you feel that it's? What are your feelings? You say that you're in a dream somewhere. You mentioned it last time.
That's what it.
A tunnel or something.
Oh, well, no, I don't stay. It isn't really a tunnel anyway. I was just trying to describe the experience of how I get from here to,
yeah,
to there. And I have been for a while now trying to pay attention so that I can remember. And I guess I've been partially successful, as I described to you. I hear a noise in my ears that eventually drowns you out.
Hmm. What kind of noise?
Oh, well, you know the noise that you hear when you put a conch shell up to your ear?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a roar almost,
mm-hmm.
Only something like that, only louder, and mm-hmm. It gets loud enough so that I don't hear you anymore. And when it gets to a certain point, I can't even tell you what point that is, but when I begin to hear that, I'm still know what's going on. When I first hear that noise, I still mm-hmm. know what's going on. I still know I'm in this room and I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know it's working. That's the signal to me that it's
now,
working.
Do you feel that way when I would put you in hypnosis at other times?
Do I feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Do you hear that roaring sound? Look, I put you in hypnosis many times. Do you hear that roaring noise?
I think I had briefly on one or two occasions, but it never... It just kind of came and went, and never, mm-hmm. nothing happened like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I was inhibiting it or
what. Well, we don't
what.
Know. And after the sound, then, what happens then? You say that...
I feel like I'm moving then. I feel like my whole body is moving. Now, this is kind of strange, and maybe it's hard to understand.
Nothing is strange here.
I know.
Nothing is strange.
I know, but I had to be sitting in this chair the whole time, but I feel like my whole body is moving somewhere, and I seem to have my whole body with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I move upward through a dark area that seems like a tunnel or... But I don't know why I think that it's a tunnel. I don't see anything. It's dark, and I don't see anything on the sides, but I have a sense of being confined.
When you start moving, or when you say you start moving, does the sound vanish then? And then can you still hear my voice, or?
No, I start moving, I don't hear you anymore at all. Mm-hmm. I just move, and I move upward, and I move toward a light area. As I get closer to the light, my arms are at my side, always. And I move, and I sort of like I'm plastered. My arms are plastered down to my side. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could move them. I feel like I don't have that kind of control. Move up toward the light. Now, this is very, very fast. This doesn't take a long time. This is, I don't know how long, but this is, but I move through that very rapidly. And as I get toward the light.
You're looking up now.
The light.
It's okay.
The light is sort of everywhere. When I get to the top of this dark area, the light is sort of everywhere. And I can't really tell you how what happens then, but somehow about the time I get to the light, I start a dream. I don't know just how that works.
I don't know. I don't think anyone would.
But the next thing, in other words, I know I'm moving toward this light, and the next thing I can recall is that I am dreaming. Mm-hmm. And I say dreaming because I can't think of anything else that it's like. Mm-hmm. It's like a dream, and the dream is different.
Can you remember some of the content of the dream?
Yeah, some of them. I think at least sometimes I've had more than one dream this same time, and I don't remember any, but the last.
Could you tell me any dream at all, and how long did you feel it lasted?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that long a time, although it must be. One time I remember I was just walking along a stream, and there were some trees, and I sat down under a tree by the stream and looked in the water, and it was very clear water, and I could see the rocks in the bottom, and it didn't seem like that was very long at all. 10 or 15 minutes. 10 minutes probably is what it seemed like.
Yeah, just sitting there and looking at that water.
Yeah. And another time I was in a building somewhere that was green inside. And I seemed to be looking for something. I kept looking in the cabinets. But like a dream, see, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, these dreams now, we're talking about during the time that Jean Tweed comes out.
Yes.
No, so that we define when these dreams take place, in other words. That's it's during the sessions when Jean Tweed comes through somehow.
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this then. When you are coming out of this state of mind, okay, and when supposedly Jean Tweed leaves and you return or whatever, in other words, when you are coming to your conscious state, and as we are now talking on a conscious state, there's no hypnosis, what are your sensations in that transition of coming from that place wherever you are into the way you are?
Okay, I have a little less recollection of that than I do going. It seems like I'm not as clear. I think there's some feeling of movement. I'm not sure whether I move back down the same way that I came or not. The first thing I really remember, I have that noise again. I get that noise.
Oh, when you come back, you have that noise again.
Yes, I have that. But it seems like it's a much shorter length of time, and maybe I'm just not aware of it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling of movement, but I can't tell you where that feeling comes from, whether I'm moving back down that tunnel. I'm not really sure. I'll try to remember, but I haven't been very successful. First thing I really hear is, I'm really aware is your voice.
Are you aware of my voice after the
sound? When you're counting.
Yeah. No, but from the time that the noise begins, when you go into this state, whatever it's called, I can't say it's hypnosis anymore, you see, because it doesn't have no relevancy to hypnosis. Okay, so you hear a sound, you go into this place, into this dream, and then you stay in that state for about an hour or an hour and a half.
I know that that's true. I know that that's true, but it seems like it's not that long at all.
Okay. Yes, but then now when you come, let me ask you this. I know that when you go into it, from what you tell me, that when you hear the sound, you no longer hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and yet I talk to you, let's say, or to Jane Tweed for an hour, you see, and you don't hear me. Now, on the way coming, when you're about ready to awaken, okay, now do you hear my voice before the sound begins, or do you hear it after the sound begins?
No, I hear I'm aware of the sound, and it gradually fades, and I can hear you talking. Have you ever been anesthetized?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming out of it, you're conscious of someone speaking, you can't tell what they're saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like. I mean right then. At first, I can hear you talking, and I mean I know that it's you. Right. I don't know that I know it at the time.
Yeah, but do you hear?
I can't tell what you're saying at first, and gradually I'm aware of what you're saying.
Okay, now all right, you hear a voice, and you believe it's my voice speaking to you, and then now do you hear the sound after?
No, I'm hearing the sound, and as it gets less and less, I hear you more and more clearly.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
That's very interesting, see, because there seems to be a kind of a process. Here's what you're saying. When this happens, okay, that I hear a rushing sound like a shell to my ears, okay? And as you hear the sound, no, I'm just repeating this so for a correction on your part.
Okay.
Then when I hear a sound, as you hear the sound, the voice, my voice, becomes less apparent to where you no longer hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Now, and yet I'm talking to someone, okay? And someone is talking to me. Now, after the transpiration of an hour and a half time, then as you are returning to, I don't know how to even phrase it, not coming out of it, going into it, but as you're returning to consciousness to whereby you hear my voice and understand that it's Henry speaking, so then there is a rushing sound happens again, and then you begin hearing my voice again.
Distance,
as you said, like under anesthesia.
Well, I can hear you through the sound, just as I can hear you through the sound for a while at the beginning, but gradually I can't tell what it is you're saying, and the sound is sort of like I was filled with it. I can't
explain it. And when the sound vanishes, you no longer hear my voice.
Well, when I start to move, I'm not sure. When I feel that, I don't notice. I've never been aware of any sound like that when I'm having the dream. It's gone before then. I'm not sure just when it goes completely away.
Yeah. Well, have you ever had any of these rushing sounds like when you're falling asleep naturally?
No.
And you said before that you may have had a quick smidgen of this kind of a sound when you've gone into hypnosis before.
Well, I can't even tell you when, but it didn't seem all that unfamiliar to me. But not like it is now. Yeah, okay, a quick smidgen, the way you put it. But I have been deep enough under hypnosis so that I lose my feeling of contact with the physical,
physical world, huh?
I've that floating feeling, and I can recall one or two times, seems like I remember there was some kind of a noise, but it never increased in intensity like this does.
Have you ever had this kind of experience for any other reason at any time, whether it's surgery, anesthesia, drug, alcoholics, getting drunk or anything like that? What I'm trying to say, have you had any experience?
Been sick a couple of times.
Have you had any experience in your entire life that would be parallel
like
or
that?
Similar to what you have when Jane Tweed comes through?
No.
Okay. So then we have to look at it from this point of view that, and attribute this to an unusual phenomena that has happened to you, that has never happened or occurred in your life, in any other events except in this kind of a situation.
No, I think there were only two events where I had any kind of anesthetic, once when I was a child and once as an adult, and there was nothing unusual happened that I can recall at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the feeling of waking up and not being awake enough to be able to identify. I could hear people talking and not realize what they were saying for a while.
Yeah.
So I can say that this is somewhat similar in that respect, at least that part of it. Because I can hear you and I know someone's talking to me before I can identify who it is or what is being said.
It's simply a voice, and then later it becomes identifiable.
Yeah, it's just like it was so far away or so fuzzy or something. And I don't think I care either. I don't seem to care what it is that's being said. So when I do hear you, you're counting. You're in the process of counting.
So what it is telling me here then, at least my assumption, is that whatever is happening has in all reality nothing to do with hypnosis, because...
Oh.
Okay, you see what I'm trying to say? You enter hypnosis, and you've done it many times, and you didn't hear that, or you may have heard a smidgen of that sound.
Mm.
Now here you're going into a hypnosis, but once you hear the sound, my voice vanishes, and therefore something else is in complete control beyond my voice, because you don't really hear my voice. You see?
Once I hear the sound, when the sound goes on for a little while. I can still hear you and hear the sound. It's just that it gets louder and louder. And now I realize that lets me know that this is what's going to happen. I recognize that. I don't know if that's true, but I think of that as kind of a signal.
So the sound is an indicator that something else is going
to
happen.
Yeah, it is to me now. That's just my own idea, I guess.
Well, who else would know better than you? So correct me then here if I'm wrong. It feels to me then that you go in a state of hypnosis or a relaxed state, a very deeply relaxed state, okay? And then a sound comes on, a rushing sound like a shell noise, like as if you had a shell to your ears, okay? And then as the sound gets louder, my voice gets less and less to where it diminishes completely, okay? Mm-hmm. And then yet I talk to you for an hour or so, okay? And then when it's time to cease whatever it is that's happened, and then when I suggest to you that it's time to come out, you don't hear me say to you that suggestion, well, Anne, it's time for you to wake up, you see. Then, okay, now, let me say, I'm trying to put it together here.
Okay.
So then it is saying, in every sense of the word, that if you are hearing it, then you're not aware of my saying it to you. Then the only time you become aware of something, so there seems to be a process taking place between a rushing sound, as if you had seashells to your ears, and my voice is no longer important. And then after a while, the same sound comes back, okay, and then you become aware of my voice again, you see. So in between these two sounds, somehow,
okay. That sounds accurate, as to at least as much as I can. At the first couple of times, I couldn't have told you that much. I wasn't outside of, I think, the noise. I don't think I even remembered that much. It's just that I've tried to pay attention to.
You see
what's
a light
happening.
When you go into this dream state. Now,
yeah.
And you see it's up. Now, when you come back, do you also see a light, or do you just hear the sound?
I don't know.
Okay.
Coming back is not as clear to me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sensation of movement. I'm in the dream. Wherever the last dream was, I think that there may be more than one, but I can only remember the last one.
Okay.
And then I'm back. I think there's some movement, but all I really remember is the noise, and then your voice.
Okay. Well, Anne, this is a wonderful interview here. What we'll do is this, maybe after a number of sessions, if this continues, we can recap some of it at another interview, maybe in a number of sessions again. Or if you have any information that comes to you while you're listening to the tapes, of what's happening to you, and then maybe you can make some notes and we can put on a tape on the other side of this tape in another interview.
Okay.
Because it's almost to the end now.
All right.
So I appreciate you, you know, being able to be candid and truthful and honest with what's going on. Because you got to understand, we are doing a research, or we're doing a exploration into things that happen that are really are not classified or unknown, basically speaking. So what you have given us today is a tremendous amount of insight as to what is really happening, at least from our point. I know one thing is you don't hear my voice between the sound and another sound, okay? But yet your voice speaks and I talk to Jane Tweed, you see what I mean?
It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it?
I know it. And it doesn't seem to tell us anything about what's happening, but we have a little greater insight to know because it came from you. As to say, I heard sounds, lights, tunnels, and all this thing, you know what I mean? So,
well, sort of like a tunnel.
Yeah.
That's a